you say life's taking you nowhere. Look at the sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. There's my feet, they lost the soul.
To talk with George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, it's funny how the energy level continues to go up, up, up. So we've got another hour to go of open lines. Get ready, because every line is lit, and who knows what you're going to say. Okay, let's go to our wild card line first to get us going this hour. Hi there, where are you?
Hey, George, I'm Tammy. I'm calling you from Montana.
Hi, Tammy.
I had to laugh at your teeth story. I have a tooth story for you really quick.
All right.
I sold costumes to strippers for 10 years, and I knew a stripper named Holly in Memphis, Tennessee, and she had one of those sets of teeth that you were talking about, and she used to wear them on stage. And believe me, when she took them out, they would tip her. They were just glad they weren't a real teeth.
I'm telling you, I have gotten the greatest laughs with those things. I even walked around my office yesterday. I stuck my head in the office of the president, where his administrative staff is, and just looked at them. And what's so sad is, for the first few minutes, nobody says anything. It's like, people, I don't look this way. And then they start laughing. I love it.
You know, speaking of how you look, when I'm about as psychic as a doorknob, and when I picture you in my mind, I think of Will Ferrell. I know you're much better looking than him. But anyway, I'm calling because I wanted to find out, have you been watching that show on NBC, Medium?
No, I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It is awesome. I am so hooked to it. And I was going to also ask you, or maybe... we'll ask you if you'd be interested in maybe getting her on the real medium. It's based on a true story, a real medium.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, it would just be a great show.
And speaking of TV shows, we might have something coming down for you pretty soon. You would like that.
Good.
Okay, thanks for the stories.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate that. That is a funny story. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
The main reason I'm calling is because someone had asked you about seeing black eyes.
Yes.
And I've seen that once.
Is it a disease, or is there some kind of demonic possession going on?
Well, I think it was an anger thing, which is probably some sort of demonic thing. But a friend of mine's ex-husband, we were at a party one time, and he got really angry, but, I mean, he was always in control. He was one of those people that was always in control, and you couldn't tell, at least while he was in public. And he got really angry at me, and his eyes just got pitch black. And, I mean, he was almost shaking, but not really shaking. And I could tell that he was totally enraged. And, I mean, I was just amazed to see that kind of anger.
What did you do?
Well, oddly enough, I kind of laughed because I was amazed.
Well, why did he get so angry at you?
It wasn't anything at all. It was like it was at a party or something, and I picked up a beer or something, and he thought it was his, or
whoa,
he wanted it instead. Or
And he went that ballistic?
Yeah, it was, but I mean, he didn't do anything because there was, like, you know, 50 people there.
So it just stayed within him.
Right, and later I said to my friend, boy, and she said, oh, you finally saw it, because I guess she saw it often, but...
I have never, ever witnessed that. where somebody is either so angry or there's some possession or, you know, his whole, all his eyes just go all black. I've never seen that before.
It was amazing. I was like, wow. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I had never seen that kind of rage in my life.
Was it scary?
Well, it was on one hand. On one hand, it was kind of scary, but on the other hand, I mean, there wasn't really anything he could do. I mean, I suppose he could have hit me, but, you know, not with 50 people around.
No, you don't want to do that.
And it was such a small thing, which was so amazing. But I don't remember my dreams anymore, so I can't tell you about any of those. But I have had where I guess it was like a day vision, I guess you could say.
And what was that?
Well, it was several years ago, and it was when I was much younger, and we were taking a float trip in Texas, and everybody was laughing and carrying on and not paying any attention. And all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I saw myself with my life jacket hung up in a tree, you know, and I was hanging like upside down, and the water was rushing over me.
How weird.
It was. It was real strange. So I panicked, more or less. I said, no, we've got to pull over to shore, you know, because everybody was just having way too much fun for being on a river. And so then after they got me all calmed down and everything, we went around the next bend, and there was a tree across the river. And it took all of our energy just to not get tangled up in it. And I honestly believe if I hadn't have seen that in my mind's eye, I probably would have been drowned.
Yeah, you could have. You could have been hooked right on that.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks for the stories.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. You too. Let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there. Hello.
Hi.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Hi, this is Walt. I'm in Florida.
Hi, Walt.
I wanted to talk to you about the 5-year-old girl that was arrested.
Yes.
I'm a law enforcement officer, and I'm not going to defend one side or the other. I haven't seen the video or the case.
Well, let me tell you, Walt, just by what I saw, I thought she was out of control.
Exactly, and I've seen that happen. My wife's a kindergarten teacher, and I've seen bruises on her and a couple of her friends. The size looked like a baseball hit them, where kids have kicked them, punched them. They've bit the teachers, other kids. When they get that out of control and you have to remove them from the premises, most department policies say when you take someone into custody, they will be handcuffed for your safety and theirs. Now, granted, you're not worried about her taking down a bunch of cops, but what's it going to look like if you get four of these big men and each one of them on her arms and legs carrying her out, you know, belly to the ground?
And you break her arms.
Exactly, because they didn't want to handcuff her.
Exactly.
If she's going berserk, when you place the handcuffs on there, the fight is over. And you take her somewhere where she can be attended to. Most likely, they take them directly to a psychologist. And people are starting to see more and more instances of small children being absolutely uncontrollable and violent.
Don't you think the parents should be seeing this in their kids at home?
Well, one of the students that my wife deals with, when they asked her about it, she says, well, we don't do anything because we figure she gets enough punishment at home. There's the root of the problem right there. The parents tolerate that kind of behavior and don't think it's a big deal. They say, oh, it's just a 5-year-old. But what they're doing is they're committing assault. And when they actually make contact with another human, now it's battery. Those are criminal offenses. You have to, you know, show them that they're committing a criminal act.
No,
they can't continue to do so.
No matter how old they are.
Exactly. It's still a criminal act, and I've seen the bruises, the bite marks, punctured skin from where children have bit teachers and other kids. They can inflict damage. Now, granted, they're not as dangerous as a full-size adult to a large male, but to a smaller female teacher that's not used to dealing with that kind of violence or the other kids in the class, they can inflict just as much damage on another child. They're the same size.
Yeah, this is the story that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It is not a new case. The video release is what is brand new. And, you know, we had a couple callers, Walt, saying, no, she was just sitting in a chair. No, not what I saw. I saw a pretty good chunk of it, and she was throwing things off the wall, kicking the teacher, trying to swing at the teacher, jumping up on tables. I mean, she did. She had the little kid had a meltdown.
Exactly. And what happens is, you know, her side of it and her attorneys are going to release information to sway public opinion and get everybody to think that, you know, you've got to look at both sides in the big picture. That's why I can't defend one side or the other, because I don't know the whole picture. But the thing is if she's jumping on tables, she could easily fall off and seriously injure or kill herself falling on another chair. Or if she was to throw a chair and hit a student, it could seriously injure them.
And then everybody will blame you guys for not doing something.
Exactly. Now, I don't believe, I've heard the incidents about tasers. I don't believe in that, but I don't see anything wrong with applying a handcuff restraint. You're not causing harm to the child. You're not causing pain. A little bit of embarrassment and humility, but you would think her own actions would, you know, bring that upon her, but they don't. But there's no pain or harm done by handcuffing them, and chances are her arms are so small, if she really tried, she could slip out of those adult-sized handcuffs.
Yeah, that's true.
Handcuffs for five-year-olds.
Yeah, they only go down to a certain wrist level, don't they?
Exactly. And I've had some people that, you know, were small enough in their frame and their hand size that they could slip them out of the cuffs that I carry. So you're not going to cut off the circulation. You're not causing physical harm or pain. It's just embarrassment, and it's a way to keep her from fighting, because the less she fights, the less you have to do to restrain her physically. You know, that's the goal, is to stop the physical retaliation.
No, I agree. After seeing the entire video, I agree they had to do something like that just to restrain her. And it's not like they put her in a straitjacket or anything.
Exactly. You know, and you know, you hear these things about the tasers in schools. I don't believe in it.
No, you could get killed. 18-year-old. I mean, tasers have killed people.
You know, and the tasers themselves are a very rare incident. And, you know, as far as killing someone, and all the cases that I've personally looked at, they were on drugs or other problems. And they're committing offenses serious enough that they shouldn't have been doing it in the first place, and they wouldn't have got taken.
Now, let me ask you, Walt, is there any way, would you have tried to calm the kid down before you handcuffed her?
Well, if you try to approach her and grab the arms, and she's fighting and going berserk, and you can't talk and reason with a five-year-old. You can try, and I'm sure there might have been an attempt made, depending on how berserk her actions were, but I'm not there. And that's one thing in this job. You don't have time to make, you know, to sit and reason with people all the time. Now, who knows? They may have had time to talk to her and try to calm her down, but I didn't see the video to see how much of that was done before they arrived. But sometimes your goal is to go in and remove them from the situation as quickly and quietly as possible, which obviously, you know, isn't going to be quiet, but you want to do it as fast as possible to keep her away from the other children and for them to see, as you know, the least amount possible. And if she's fighting and going ballistic, you can't, you know, you take four guys in there and carry her out by her arms and legs. Is that going to look worse than handcuffs or not?
Yeah,
and it may.
Yeah.
Does show the other students, look, she acted this way. She's getting taken off by the police in handcuffs. It's, you know, you're not causing harm to them. You're showing the other people you can't act this way. Look what's happening to her. So, you know, unless I'm actually there and saw the situation, you know, I can't tell you.
The teacher, Walt, looked bewildered. She didn't look like she knew what to do, because she tried to contain the kid, and the kid would go at her and then jump up on the tables and then throw something. The teacher looked like she was in shock.
Exactly, and they really don't. They're not used, and most teachers, you know, my wife just happens to have one in her class that does the same thing. For very small reasons, has extreme outbursts, and he's had to be taken out by their local resource officer there. Now, not in cuffs, but he's had to be taken outside the room and taken down to the principal until later that afternoon the principal gives him to his parents, his parents. His mom's in jail. So, you know, it's one of those things where his behavior is stemming from home. And, you know, the school can only do so much. They can't raise the kids, and they can't instill everything in them that the parents should be. And there's also some questions about drug use on parents, because what they're seeing is parents that have used drugs
prior to the birth of the kid or during?
Prior to. you know, illegal substances, you know, whether, you know, whatever that substance may be, you know, the doctors, everybody will tell you, you don't do that stuff when you're pregnant. You don't even smoke. It causes health problems.
Well, I agree with that.
And they're out here taking these illegal substances, and what they're, you know, I haven't seen a full study or concrete proof, but it would lead me to believe it makes sense, because I've seen a lot of kids that come, you know, they're raised by parents that have this background, that the children have extreme fits of uncontrollable violence that's far more violent than you and I might have seen from a five-year-old when we were growing up.
There was a case in St. Louis, not quite like this, but there was a little boy who must have been about 12 or 13 years old, and he pointed a wooden black gun at police officers and wouldn't put it down. Now, as you know, as an officer, you don't know if that's real or not. And they kept asking him, put it down, put it down. Finally, he ended up getting shot and killed. It's a tough job that you guys have, where you have to make split-second decisions, and people always second-guess you, don't they?
Oh, they do. And, you know, everybody wants to sit back and Monday morning quarterback it, but they've never been out on the interstate at 2:30 in the morning and gone toe-to-toe with somebody that's 6'8", 220, and you don't know. Your goal is to go home at the end of the night. And every time you put the uniform on and go out to work, you don't know if you're going home that night.
And I'm sure you've known some guys who didn't come home.
Yes, I have. And I've been to a couple of the funerals, and that's the worst thing in the world. And I hope I'm never put in that, you know, situation, such as the young boy with the fake gun. A lot of them look so real. Now, by law, toy guns now have to have the bright orange tip to them and things like that. But kids take them off.
Yep,
you know, they want
yep.
it to look real. There's so many variables there, and I've never been put in that situation, and I pray that I never do.
Yeah, let's hope.
And if I do, I hope I can make the right decision and see that one thing that shows me that it's not real or I'm not in danger. But when you don't know, and your goal is you think about your family in your head, your primary thought is, I'm going home tonight, one way or another.
Well, you go home tonight, Walt. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
All right, officer, be good. Let's go to our psychic dream hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, that must be me.
That is you.
Hi.
See, you're psychic. You knew I was coming to you here.
Not so much in that sense.
So what's up?
This is Christine. I talked to you a while back. I'm from Reno.
Okay.
And I'm the one that has chronic fatigue syndrome.
Oh, that's right. I remember you.
In the motorhome with the cat.
Yeah.
I think that because of the physical things, you know how, like, if a person's blind, they hear better?
Yeah, I agree.
I think I'm in such a slow pace that I pick up on a lot of stuff. I can't tell you how many times I've been psychic. Some of the dreams, I'll start with, like, a later one, because that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, give me one, because we're going to run into a break here. So
have you been to Lake Tahoe?
I have not, no.
Well, there's some big mountains around the lake, and I had a dream that there were storms everywhere, and there were tornadoes going across the mountaintop. One of the earlier dreams that I had, I'd been interested in stars and space and stuff for a long time. And the first time I heard 2012, that's when the Mayan calendar ends. I mean, I was just a little kid, and I was like, that's weird.
Well, let me ask you this. Doesn't it storm and rain on top of the mountaintops all the time?
Not tornadoes. These were tornadoes.
Did they touch down?
Yeah. And I was like, what are tornadoes doing on the mountaintops? And it was just so vivid and so clear. Well, one of the dreams that I had earlier, I heard there was going to be a planetary alignment real early in the morning. So I set my alarm, and I went out, and I looked at it, and, oh, okay, went back to bed. But then I had a dream that I went back out and looked at it again. And while I was watching it, all the stars fell out of the sky.
What does that mean?
Well, when I found it in the book of Revelation, it kind of blew my mind.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, it says at the end times that all the stars will fall out of the sky. And when I read that, I was just, oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
but this was just a dream. That's the good part. Let's just hope that that's a dream of something that's going to occur. many, 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 many years from now. Well, we've still got another half hour to go, so we shall be right back. The lines are jammed. I'll do the best I can to get the rest of your stories in. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. Fast Blast is still up and running, so you can just go to that as well. We'll be back.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, here's the great question of the moment. George, why do most shadow people have top hats? I have no idea. And welcome back to Coast. Here's a list of the guests for next week before we go back to the calls. Monday, Robert Bruce, as we look at astral projection. We haven't done that in a long time. Tuesday, he's back. Neil Donald Walsh, of course, his bestseller, Conversations with God. He's got some new insight for us. On Wednesday, you asked for it, and we shall bring him back, Maurice Cotterell, as we talk about his very in-depth work of what's been going on in South America. And then my little favorite here, Richard Sauder, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What the Government is Trying to Hide. I'm looking forward to that, too. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going, first of all, to our wildcard line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
This is Derek out in Cody, Wyoming.
Well, what's going on in Wyoming?
Not a whole lot.
Well, I'm glad you got tonight, through.
What's that?
Glad you got through.
Yeah, I've been trying for a long time. So, tonight we were out, some friends of mine, there's a river that runs through town and it goes through a canyon. and there's some natural hot springs there.
Okay.
And there's like two different locations. One of them, it's just a, there's like a natural rock kind of barrier that goes around it. And on the other side, it was a commercial place a while back, and there's cement that goes around it, and it's a nice pool. And so we were down there tonight, and there were quite a few people, and a few of them were at the one spot, and then about the other half were at the other. And we're sitting there, and this canyon's probably, I don't know, maybe 200 feet deep. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the whole canyon just lights up in this blue turquoise color. And it was just like instantaneous, just all of a sudden lit up. And pretty much everyone that we were with saw it. And we tried to, we waited for a little bit, and it was silent, and it was like nothing around us. And then all of a sudden, it was just like a nice breeze came with it.
Ooh.
And we left the canyon, and we tried to get a hold of the other group of people that were down at the other spot, and we haven't been able to get a hold of them all night.
You think something's wrong here?
I don't know. I mean, a few of them were from another town, but we haven't been able to contact them. And it was like, it was so bright that you could see, I mean, because it was dark, but you could see just perfect everyone around you. You could see them.
Was this like an object?
I don't. It was just like a ball of light just went from one canyon, because I saw the whole thing, and it was like 100 miles an hour, just went through the canyon.
Okay, but not fast enough where a meteorite would have just like
no,
that. Okay.
No. And it was just went down the canyon, and where we were at, it was probably 100 yards long before it went around the bend at both places, and the whole canyon just was like a blue color.
And now some people that were there on the other side, they're gone.
We haven't been able to get a hold of them the whole night. And it's probably a half a mile to a mile apart, these two spots. And so we don't know if they saw it or if they left. But we got out and around, and it took us probably 45 minutes to get from where we were up to our cars and over there, and their car was gone, and we don't know where they are.
Is it unusual that you can't find them?
Yeah.
Man, this is strange. Like they were abducted or picked up?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what it was, but there were probably 10 people with me, and everyone saw the canyon get lit up, but I think I was the only one who saw the ball of light go through the air.
That's a great story. You may have had one heck of a sighting out there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
How about that? And then people are gone. We got to follow up on that one. First time caller line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
My name's Jenny. I'm from Chehalis, Washington.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
So I'm calling to tell you about something that happened like a year ago.
Something happened a year ago?
Yeah, I don't know, like exactly, but approximately.
All right, what?
Well, I listen to music at night to like help relax and go to sleep. So I started listening to a New Age station.
Okay.
And, you know, normally it's like peaceful and like calm and stuff. But like, it changed to like drum beats and like laughing, but not happy laughing, like sadistic laughing.
You were?
No, like the music.
Oh.
And it was going through that, and that was kind of weird because it had never done anything like that before. And then all of a sudden, like there was a shadow on my wall, like while the drum beats and the laughter was going on, and it was like rotating. And then there was a shadow on my ceiling, and it was like it was scuttling diagonally across the ceiling towards my direction.
What'd the shadow look like?
It was just like the one above my head was like rotating. It was like a round shape sort of. And then the one on the ceiling was just like a little tiny shadow, and it was jerking really fast.
Are you sure they were shadows and not like little floaters in your eye? That happened.
I'm positive because once I saw it scuttling, it was going in a diagonal way across and then going down the wall. And so I closed my eyes because I was pretty scared by then. And once to where I knew it should be above my head, I heard the magazine stuff on my wall ruffling. And then a little bit later, my head started hurting like I had been hit in the back of the head really bad.
You think the music had anything to do with this thing showing up?
Yeah, I do, because it was really scary and it wasn't relaxing at all, the nature of the music.
Well, at least you're okay now. Thanks for the call, Jen. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
This is Libby calling from Kansas City.
Did you say Ruby or Libby?
Libby.
Libby.
Hi. About this little girl,
A little 5-year-old in Florida? Yeah.
George, if you look into it, I bet you anything, you're going to find out that this girl is on some kind of antidepressant.
She might have been. She, you know, 5 years old is pretty young, right?
They're putting 3-year-olds on this stuff now. They're trying to drug. I mean, Alex is right. They want to drug all of us. And when that's what's causing this kind of bizarre behavior from kids that we've been seeing. I was one of these kids. Well, when I was 12, they put me on Prozac, and I flipped out myself.
You're off that now?
Yes, I am.
Good for you. Did you see this video?
No, I didn't.
All right.
But the description, it sounds very familiar to me.
I mean, it looks like the cops were justified just to get this kid kind of, you know, contained.
But, I mean, if she was going, you know, crazy like that, like...
Oh, she was. She was out of control.
Well, she was on something, George. I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to doubt that. I mean, I said when that most recent shooting up there in Red Lake, Minnesota occurred, I said that night I wouldn't be surprised if the kid was on something. And sure enough, he was on Prozac.
If you could find out, you know, if she was on something, I mean, I bet you're going to find something there.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right.
You know, sometimes these kids, even if they're on a high dose of too much sugar, they go crazy. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
George?
Yeah.
Hey, wow. I'm excited. A little nervous, but nice to talk to you.
Don't worry about it. Where are you?
I'm in California.
Whereabouts?
South of Modesto.
Okay, sure. Great area.
Yeah, it's nice over here. Anyways, I've been listening to you for about a year and a half now, and a college student, and though most nights I should be doing my homework.
What are you taking up in school?
Where am I going to school?
Yeah, where and what are you taking up?
I'm hoping to do mechanical engineering.
That's a pretty good profession.
Possible aerospace, weapon systems, or national defense. I'm interested in...
Really?
Yeah, keeping the United States safe. And
good for you.
Important to me. It's to serve our country and somehow with my knowledge and whatnot.
Good for you. Well, so, what's on your mind today?
Well, it kind of starts off, I really appreciate your positive outlook in life in general, because I hear that coming through you when you talk to people.
I have always been this way.
Yeah, and I mirror that with you. Like, when you talk to people, I believe in the power of optimism, too. I've always been that way. And a lot of it, I think, stems from my youth as, I went to church quite a bit. So a lot of the positive feelings I received from church, you know, have gone into me. But I believe more in myself. I don't know. Anyways.
Well, we're going to have potholes in life. That's what it's all about. But the secret is to have that ability to get out of it and keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a firm believer of the fact that, you know, most things can be solved just by your brain power and overcoming, you know, whatever it is that's in your life.
Well, let me tell you something. You're on your way to some pretty good stuff. You keep thinking that way.
Well, that leads me to my dream story.
All right.
It's kind of strange. So you have kind of bear with me. I tried to write down before I called you.
Most of our dreams are strange,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
Well, this one happened to me when I was about 9. So trying to remember it, I mean, I guess it's not too long ago, about 10 years, it was 11 years ago. So I was 9, and it started off where I, you know, all of a sudden I was just conscious in this dream, and I was in a small enclosed room. There's no doors, no windows. It's probably like 3 feet by 3 feet wide. And just tall enough where I was inside. It was cramped.
You would think so.
Yeah, and it was kind of an odd, I want to say retro, kind of like 70-ish styled room. And suddenly, a downward force overcame me. And it's an odd force. It wasn't physical, and it wasn't paranormal or spiritual, anything like that. But it was just like an internal force inside my body. Like, how can I, like the inside of my body was being filled with cement.
Ugh.
Or water from the top of my head pushing me downwards. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's a strange dream.
Just very, very odd feeling. It was, and I could feel it in my body physically because, you know, my brain was in that limbo between consciousness and non, you know.
I think you need some help. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
And so, anyways, I was, you know, scared to death, so I screamed. My mom came in my room and comforted me, and I tried to explain to her, but she just thought I was just freaking out as a little kid. But I remember to this day that feeling I had. So what's odd is to this day, I can find myself on days that I'm, like, happy or my thoughts are collected, you know, just having a good day.
Sure.
I feel like that pressure, that same pressure that was pushed into me, flows out of me on those good days.
As if all the bad that's in you, not that there's a lot,
right,
just eases its way out.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. And it's that same, it's like a release. I don't know how to explain it, but it's that same pressure. And I don't remember what's happening to me at that time in
my life.
Well, you've
seen a pressure cooker on a stove, haven't you?
Right.
That steam pops out of it and that thing goes. That's what's happening to you.
That's what I feel like, exactly.
That happens. So, well, keep it up in school.
I have one more thing. Can I say one more thing?
You have 10 seconds.
Okay, yeah, perfect. You guys were talking about wishes a couple weeks back, and I never got to say it. So my wish is that one day Einstein will be wrong and that we will be able to travel the speed of light.
I love it. Okay, good luck in school.
Thanks, George.
All right, 19 years old, and that's what's so great about America, because you know what? He's heading down the right way. First-time caller, hello.
Hi, this is Jean from Chicago area.
Hey, Jean.
Hi, George. I can't believe I got through.
Sounds like a Beatles song. Hey, Jean. Yeah, that's what it was. You got through.
About Hey Jude.
Oh, it's Hey Jude, not Hey Gene. That's right. Correct me here, staff. They just look at me. They look at me in awe. They're afraid to say anything. I'm the most easy, accessible guy here. If I'm wrong, they can tell me. And they're afraid to say anything to me.
Oh, they probably thought you were kidding. Or maybe they're going into that numbing zone of the brain.
No, you're right. I was kidding. I knew it was Hey Jude.
Anyway, why I called, George, I've heard on several occasions people calling in about violent people and little children that
yes,
are violent. I had occasion to meet up with a biochemist several years back, I'd say about 15 years ago, and found out that in research that had been done, that at prisoners down at Stateville Penitentiary here in Illinois, that the most violent ones were those who had heavy lead poisoning, and their bodies weren't able to metabolize it out, because after all, you had leaded gasoline at that time being emitted into the air, and probably, you know, food that were lead-lined cans. Smoking emits a certain amount of heavy metals.
How about lead-based paint that was so bad in those days?
Exactly, lead-based paint. So there are places that people can have hair, blood, and urine analyses done so that they can see if there is any lead poisoning, especially in those little children who are so violent. They could be getting it from other sources, from food, from water pipes, from paint. Well, not paint anymore.
Well, maybe if it's an old house, though, that they may live in, who knows?
Exactly. So in the state of Illinois, there's the Carl Pfeiffer Treatment Center, but I have noticed that there are other facilities that are now testing for hair, blood, and urine analysis.
Well, I think you're right, and I think several of the other callers are right. She's either on something, there's some kind of chemical imbalance somewhere, something's happened to her, because little kids don't act that way.
Exactly. They're not trained that way. And, you know, thinking back to Jeffrey Dahmer, I happened to see an interview after he was captured, but the interview was with his father. And his father happened to say that he used to think the same way his son did, but he never acted on it. And you know what that was? That he would hide, Jeffrey Dahmer admitted that he would hide in the woods behind trees waiting to come out and attack people. And his father said in this interview he used to think the same way that his son did, but he never acted on it. So what I'm saying is there is a genetic connection there, too. Our family has a problem with another heavy metal, but not lead, because lead is the thing that makes a person violent. And in the case of copper toxicity, if you don't metabolize that out of your body, you could end up in a mental hospital and be diagnosed as mental illness. So it's really interesting, and society is really not ready to accept the fact that maybe this is what's causing people to become violent. In the research done in Illinois here, they found out that the men they chose, the most violent ones, were from all walks of life. They came from nice families, wealthy families, poor families. There was no common connection with the way they were raised, in other words.
But do they all have this toxicity to lead in other metals?
Yes, lead was the main ingredient, but lead is the thing that makes a person violent.
Well, you may be right, Jean.
And I said that to a son-in-law who was from the French Caribbean. And when I mentioned it to him, he said, you know, there was a man who wanted to protect his property, and when he had learned that, and this is several years back now, he had opened, from the gun, the bullets, and emptied the lead into the dog's food so that he felt he needed his dog to be more violent.
Oh, and, my. And did it work?
Oh, yeah. He ended up having to put the dog down because he could not control him anymore, which was rather a cruel thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. But what an interesting story in terms of its effect.
Yes. So in light of the fact that lead is a problem, as I said, society may not be ready to accept that, but people don't know what their body's going to be able to metabolize or not,
That's a good point. Hey, Gene, I got to take this last call.
Sure enough.
Okay, dear. Thanks.
Enjoy listening to your show. Thanks a lot, George.
Okay, you too. Lead, maybe. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line real quickly and then wrap it up. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Charles calling from Ontario, Canada.
Charles.
I'm just calling to tell you about this correspondence I had online with a skinwalker.
You did?
Yeah, it's basically like a werewolf, the North American Indian shapeshifter.
Yep.
And at the time, I've always been interested in vampires, so I made this website. I called it Vampires Crypt, and this guy started like saying, if you want to know the real truth about vampires, contact me. And then I contacted him, and he's telling me about like vampires aren't real, like only the psychic vampires are real, but skinwalkers are real. And he's telling me all these weird things about that. And then we corresponded for about a year. And he kept trying to get, like, he wanted my address and stuff.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, and he lived near me, like, two towns over or something.
You had a sicko.
Yeah, and they wanted my address. But then I was wondering about that to see if it was true, and I Red Elk, you know, the guest that you had.
Yeah,
I contacted him, and he said to move away, that it's really a skinwalker, and not to let him know where I am or anything.
And what did you do?
Well, I just stopped talking to him.
That is the smartest thing you ever did. Hey, thanks. We're running out of time. No, you do not want to chat with someone on the internet and give them your address. That's a no-no. Don't forget Art Bell this weekend. For Kyrus Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. The week will roll very quickly. Oh, don't forget, I'm in San Francisco Sunday. Come see me at the Expo.